We had a name. We could start work. In January 1984, I quit my job at MIT to start writing GNU. I had to quit my job because if I were working as an MIT employee, the MIT administration would have been able to take this GNU software, the pieces of GNU that I was going to write, and did this just turn off? Could have taken this GNU software and released it as proprietary software products. And that would have completely destroyed the purpose of doing it. I didn't want to take any risk that they would do that. And I didn't want to have to beg them, negotiate with them about every detail of the license I would use. So I took them out of the equation by quitting my job, and I have never had a job since then. Leaving so soon? Oh, you're not. But but the lab director was nice enough to let me use a Unix machine at the AI lab to develop pieces of GNU. Now, this was my first time actually using Unix. Before that, I had only read about it. Fortunately, when I saw what Unix was like, it wasn't too bad. I confirmed my decision to follow the design of Unix and be compatible with Unix. Well, at the time, I thought we would develop all these components and put them together and have a complete running system, and then we would invite people to use GNU. That's not what happened. In September 84, I started writing GNU Emacs, which was my second implementation of the programmable text editor. By early 85, it was working well enough that I could use it for all my editing, which was convenient because I had no intention of learning to use VI. So until that time, I had to do my editing on some other machine and transfer the files through the network to test them. At that point, I could do my editing on the Unix machine where I would actually test the files. But when GNU Emacs was ready for me to use, other people wanted to use it too. They started asking me to give them copies, which meant I had to work out the details of how to distribute GNU programs. You see, they wanted to use GNU Emacs. There was no GNU system yet, but they could use GNU Emacs on Unix systems. So, of course, I put a copy in the FTP server directory. That way, people on the net could get copies. But in 1985, most programmers were not on the net. So I was getting messages from them saying, I'm not on the net. How can I get a copy? What was I going to tell them? Well, I could have said, I want to spend my time writing more pieces of GNU, not writing tapes. So find a friend who's on the net who's willing to download it and put it on a tape for you. And I'm sure they would have found somebody sooner or later. But I had no job, and I was looking for some way I could make money through my work on free software. So I announced, send me $150 and I'll mail you a tape of GNU Emacs. And the orders began dribbling in. By the middle of the year, they were trickling in. I was getting 8 to 10 orders a month, which, if necessary, I could have lived on, because I've always made a point of living cheaply, living like a student, basically. I don't like to get expensive habits, because if you get an expensive habit, then it's the master, not you. So most Americans, they start making this much money, they immediately look for how they can start spending this much money. So they start getting houses and cars and airplanes and boats and artwork and rare stamps and adventure travel and children. All sorts of expensive luxuries that the world can ill afford to support. And then they get attached to all these things, and they can't bear to give them up, And the result is they've got to spend all their time working, and they have to work for whoever will pay them the most. They've got no choices in their lives, and they don't even have any time to enjoy all these expensive luxuries that they're paying for all the time. You know, no time to spend in the house, no time to fly the plane or sail the boat or see the kids or whatever. It's awfully sad. They become puppets of money. But if you reject these expensive luxury habits, then it's much easier to make enough to live on, because that's a smaller amount. And then you can decide what you're going to do with your life. You can do something that matters to you, instead of whatever somebody with money wants. But people used to ask me, what do you mean it's free software if it costs $150? Well, the English word free has multiple meanings. One meaning refers to price, and another refers to freedom. When I speak of free software, I'm talking about freedom, not price. So think of free speech, not free beer. In Polish, I believe it's better. You've got two different words for these two different meanings. In English, this is a gap. There is no everyday English word that's an adjective that refers to freedom and not to price.
The problem is that free, in the meaning of freedom, means slow.
That's all right. It's better to say that than any other alternative, because at least it refers to freedom. And it's terribly important that we refer to freedom.
But the Emacs is slow.
Not on today's computers. Nothing is slow on today's computers. And in this machine, it runs so fast. I mean, it's just amazing. All the computers today are so fast. I was programming in the days when computers were slow. And I once, in the incompatible time sharing system, I implemented a special system call so that the kernel would handle ordinary self-inserting characters, echoing them directly on the screen for Emacs. So that, you know, basically when you typed a non-self-inserting character or when you got to the margin or anything else strange happened, then this system call would return and Emacs would read all those characters and it would determine, okay, here's how many characters were handled specially, and then it would go back to reading things normally. And the result was it was a big improvement in efficiency, especially when you had, say, 8 people trying to share a computer that was probably 100 times slower than this. So I know what it's like when computers are slow.